Coolers, you know, those aren't something that we can do outside. Food and beverage, there's tons of stuff that's going to be available, you know, inside.
And the theme for the air show is celebrating women in aviation. The gates have opened here about a half an hour ago. The first air show is expected to begin at about 9:30 this morning. The Pensacola Police Department says they've now made an arrest in a fatal shooting that happened last month at the Pensacola Village Apartments. 20-year-old Jacoby Malik Smith has been charged with homicide in the death of Leron Wesley. Smith allegedly shot and killed Wesley October 1st. He was arrested yesterday by the PPD SWAT team. Well, it's been nearly 20 years now since Pensacola's Bravo Company of the 3rd Infantry Battalion returned home from a 13-month deployment in Iraq. Now the veterans are planning to get back together. They're having a reunion event on Pensacola Beach for Veterans Day.
Our time in war, it impacted all of us differently, but all of us were impacted. And some of us came back injured. We were lucky and very proud that we brought everyone home. But not everyone came back, physically the same way, but definitely emotionally, mentally. You know, PTSD has been talked about a lot, and it's something we've all went through and been through.
That's Sergeant Jason Crawford. He was one soldier that deployed with the unit. He says they did lose one soldier to suicide just months after returning home. He's hoping this event will be a healing moment for everyone involved. Crawford tells Channel 3 many of those soldiers haven't seen each other since they returned from that deployment. Former President Donald Trump has the endorsement now of a prominent Florida Republican. Senator and former Governor Rick Scott has endorsed Trump. He says he's known Trump a long time, endorsed him in 2016, and worked with him when he was a governor and in the Senate. Scott also says Governor DeSantis never asked for his endorsement. He does say, though, that Governor DeSantis works hard for the state of Florida, and he's heard from a lot of Republicans that DeSantis should come home and be the governor. It's 8:35 at News Radio. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Jake.
Well, Highway 98 westbound in Tiger Point is backed up from the light at Garson Point. Also, East Burgess between Palafox and Oakfield, we're showing a very slow roll in both directions there. This traffic report is brought to you by Fresh From Florida. At freshfromflorida.com, you can see what's in season, recipes that feature local ingredients, and more. Also, join the Fresh From Florida Club today at freshfromflorida.com. If you have traffic info to report, please text 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We do have a beautiful start to the day. Temperatures a little chilly. We do warm up in the afternoon, 73 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the 50s, 55 degrees for your low. Nice weather for your weekend. We do have mostly sunny skies on Saturday, 75 degrees for your high, 57 degrees for your low. Mid-70s continue for Sunday with sunny skies. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now we've got mostly sunny skies. It's 50 in Pensacola, 51 in Gulf Breeze, 46 in Milton. Your money now. Today the market up at the opening bell. The Dow is up 167.49 at 34.657. The S&P 500 is up 27.22 at 43.45.16. The NASDAQ up 75.29 at 13.369.48. Our 10-year bond rate is down just slightly at 4.5%. Gold prices up 240 at $1,995.90. Silver prices up slightly at $2,303. And Bitcoin down 5.20.36 this morning at $34,415.63. The unemployment rate ticking up a bit. Numbers out from the Labor Department today showing the unemployment rate rose a tenth of a percent in October to 3.9%. Analysts had expected the rate to hold steady at 3.8. The Biden administration says they'll be investing more than $650 million into port projects aimed at improving reliability of the U.S. supply chain. The administration announced that those projects will focus on 41 ports nationwide, including Long Beach, Milwaukee, and Newark. The money coming from bipartisan infrastructure law, which included $17 billion for ports and waterways. It is 8:37, your next news at 9 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
To the hip, the hip, you don't stop. Wrap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp enough.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's my opportunity to hang out with some friends and just talk about the news of the week, kind of like if we were having beers or coffee or I don't know, whatever, a drink that reminds us of the Rio Grande or whatever.
Coffee's
so
good.
Craig Heinzman, community outreach pastor. I always want to butcher this title. Is that
community
right?
Community pastor's fine.
Pastor we'll at Marcus Point Baptist Church. And also Tammy Ward, who is now with, she just recently changed, with LifeQuest. What is LifeQuest again? You told me before, but I always forget.
It's an organ recovery service.
Organ recovery service.
Yes.
Very good. Which is essential work.
Yes. I mean,
absolutely.
Very, very important. Life-saving
gift
work.
Gift of life.
So, yeah, for sure. So we're here to just kind of talk about the things going on. Let's start. Just, Craig, I want to get it out of the way. Anything you want to promote? Anything, you know, with the church that you're doing, you want to talk about?
I've got Veterans Day coming up. We've got women's. We've always got something. But our big thing right now, Spirit of Christmas is coming, which is our big annual Christmas event. And we've got the Praying Coach, Joe Kennedy, coming.
Oh,
on,
all right.
The 10th
he lives here.
Of December.
He lived here. I mean, he was here for some temporary amount of time, I think.
Oh,
right?
Yeah? Yeah, he's. I know he said he's moving back to Florida. Like that's his, you know, get out.
I remember when the case was at the Supreme Court and it had been heard already, but they hadn't issued a ruling. I reached out to the PR people and to see if we can get him on, and it just didn't work out. But you know, I remember thinking, oh, cool, because you know he's right here. So
that's true. There's a lot of after your Perdido thing. There's
a lot
of cool people
that live.
The astronaut.
Like, I know.
My son is like, we need to meet him.
Right.
Like, okay, we'll figure it. Well, if you're listening, call me.
Yeah, we got one of the guys at the recent meeting talking about the We Are Perdido Incorporation was, you know, no big deal. He just, you know, he crewed three shuttle flights and, you know, he's a retired astronaut and, you know, like, what? And I remember Doug Broxson asked him for his autograph. I thought was fantastic. So let's start with the big news. Tomorrow we fall back an hour. We are still doing this in Florida, despite the push. The Senate, you know, Rubio and Scott are both on board, but so far nobody in the House is willing to take up the bill. Matt Gaetz has said of all the issues he's concerned about, this isn't one. And so nobody else is willing to take it up either. So here we are year after year after year going through this fan or anti-fan of daylight savings time. Time. There's no S.
Yeah, there's no S.
I would rather stay on the same time. I mean, you gain an hour now, but then you lose it in the spring. So, you know, just stay one or the other.
Yeah, my thing is it's not the same across all the states. So, like, Arizona doesn't do it.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So now you've got one state kind of opting out in itself. I'm like, we've got to just standardize this. Let's get away from it.
Yeah. Half of Indiana does it.
Half of it doesn't.
So this just gets really confusing if you're talking to other people.
Right.
That's my thing.
The one thing that if we went to year-round daylight time, which is the proposal, if we went to daylight time and then other states still moved, well, now suddenly, you know, we'd be in kind of a weird spot vis-a-vis, like, Georgia and Alabama and Texas.
We're already in a weird spot because everybody thinks that we're Eastern time.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's the bill that should be passed right now.
Well, that's the other one, right?
Florida should all be on, you know, Central time or Eastern time or whatever.
No. I want to be on Central time.
I agree.
Well,
I
do. Again, the problem there is, right, we're so far west.
Exactly.
Right.
But seriously, how many people who live in Miami or Orlando even know there's a Central time zone in the Panhandle? They don't.
They really don't.
You talk to them on the phone, they're like, yeah, that's, you know, we're going to do that at 9 o'clock Eastern time. I'm like, no, we're Central.
My main office is in Gainesville. Everything is Eastern time.
Right.
Luckily, the computer calendar changes it.
Yeah, I do think that's the thing, though. Outside of your microwave, you're really not setting anything back.
Let's
right.
be honest.
Yeah, the microwave, and maybe if you own one, a wall clock, or if you have a VCR.
Oh, a wall clock.
If you own a wall clock, are you really setting it back, or are you just like, we'll get to
it. We'll figure it out.
In about a year, we'll come back to this place.
In 6 months, it'll be.
Even your like little digital alarm clock has a daylight button where you can fiddle with it, right? So,
yeah.
No, I'm with you. I'm not a big fan of this. I will say this. I have an okay ability to understand a lot of different things. I grew up dealing with time zones, flying back and forth from like Michigan Correct. To Denver and Chicago and all that. So time zones don't bother me. I know some people just can't get it. They're in California. They don't understand. What do you mean? Do I add 2 hours, 3 hours? Do I subtract 2 hours, 3 hours? They just get confused. That doesn't bother me. For some reason, the concept of daylight time I always have to really think it through mm-hmm. to make sure I'm doing it right. And I think I've figured out a way to think about it, which is that like, okay, the daylight I experience now at 6 a.m. will be the Dark. Light I experience next week at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
That's the way to think. Or in the spring, the reverse, right? But even so, it's
a farm thing, right? I mean, that originally was a farm thing.
But that doesn't matter anymore. That's the whole point
Agreed.
Of the bill. It doesn't matter
for everybody.
Well, I mean, tractors drive themselves.
Based on GPS in outer space.
And don't farmers just use the sun anyway? Are they really looking at a clock? I mean, the sun comes up, they got to go to work, right?
Yeah, can't go to work. Time's not right.
Right, yeah.
I don't care about that sunlight.
Leaving 4:35 o'clock, it's already dark.
Yeah, that is oppressive. It is bad.
And I feel like, okay, I'm going home, going to bed because
right.
it's dark.
Time to shut down.
And we're older.
Well,
my daughter, we were going to my parents' house for Halloween, and I was like, we're leaving early. She goes, like 10 o'clock? I said, no, like 8:30. She goes, what are you, like 50? I'm like, yeah.
Well.
Yes.
Yes, I am.
So that's, you know, we just had Halloween, and I don't know, when I was a kid, when we were all younger.
Yes.
You know, and I went through high school. I mean, we trick-or-treat. Now that, you know, people, they stop trick-or-treating like 13 or 14 is, you know, kind of a common cutoff age for, I mean, there might be some in high. You said, no, you just.
No,
me.
No. Yeah,
they go
and at
Depends
Milestone
on the development.
Subdivision, there were 20-year-olds, like there were straight adults in trick-or-treat outfits getting candy.
Without kids, right?
I don't mind.
No kids, no kids.
When you carry a beer, I don't give you a candy bar, but, you know. But what I remember is we would start at, I don't know, 5, and we went till as late as you could go. If there were still if there were still lights on, we were begging for candy. So I mean, 10 for sure is what I remember. But you know, maybe.
It just depends on if they had candy left,
right? And everybody had it, and you know, you got all that stuff, and you just went home and checked it for objects that never existed in candy, and you were
maybe
all
we
good.
Could include trick or treating in the panhandling ordinance. Put some rules around age limits.
In the new ordinance that they're going to schedule I didn't watch the meeting last night, so I'm assuming they schedule it. We're going to have that hearing. But so, yeah, we're considering a new ordinance revision that's going to make it so that the sheriffs can actually enforce the anti-panhandling, that you won't be able to stand on the median or the roadside because it's a traffic impediment. And it is. Of course, it's also just a social impediment as well. And, you know, the enforcement ability comes from the traffic impediment, but what people want is to be able to stop the panhandling and just get rid of as much of it as we can.
Right.
To, you know, Santa Rosa County enforces an ordinance that is probably, in all honesty, not constitutional. Escambia doesn't enforce an ordinance much because our ordinance is dubious at best, but we're changing it to try to make it constitutional. What do you think?
I go back to what the penalties are. And I think if I remember correctly, it's a fine, which
it's $500.
Okay, and they don't have money because they're homeless.
That's right. But get a warning. I mean, you get to, you know, shoe first, right?
Okay, and then 30 days in jail. They feed you. There's coverage, especially during the wintertime. I don't know the bad side.
I haven't talked to homeless advocates about this question, but I kind of... I don't think a lot of people are committing infractions to go to jail. Maybe
it does happen.
Jail's pretty awful.
But it is. And I think you'll see more of that in the hospital systems. Filling a bed for a night because it's cold. That does happen. But
how are they going to know except for the warning?
I do think we have to go. We have to do both.
Word travels well. I mean, there's definitely a network of communication for sure.
Absolutely. And I think you have to do both. I think you have to provide the services that help those that really want to get out of homelessness. The short-term solutions, you know, the low-barrier shelters, those kind of things have to happen, as well as making it illegal for panhandling and to make the money that allows you to continue to live in that lifestyle with unfettered right. access. Mm-hmm. And I think that's my biggest thing is that it's just, hey, anyone can do anything. It's fine. All of our police have to be hands off because we don't want to get sued by the ACLU.
Right.
It's just like, yeah, but I just walked by some guy who literally had an office chair on Palafox Street in front of a business. Like, he was laying down asleep. He had an office chair and a tent. I'm going, this is not okay.
Right.
There's got to be a rule that says you can't do this. But apparently, if there is one, we can't enforce it.
And right. and what I appreciate about that, Craig, is, I mean, this is coming from a Christian pastor who realizes, come on now, this mm-hmm. is ridiculous. And same for me. Like, yeah. you know, I... Our, you know, we don't tithe to a religious entity. What we do is we tithe to all the homeless relief agencies, you know, MANA and Waterfront. And those mm-hmm. are the folks who get our money because they're doing the work of the gospel to me.
Right.
And so somebody wants to bark up my tree and say, you know, Andrew, you just don't care about the homeless. Wrong. I mean, completely wrong. Right. But what I do, I also care about order in society and people enjoying the community that we live in. And, you know, this being a problem for us. And right. I'm glad we're trying to do something about it and to try to make the street corner a less obnoxious place to drive past.
To care for somebody is to care to get them out of a tough situation. It's not to let them stay in that situation.
Right.
So if you really care about a homeless person, you want to help them become not homeless. You don't want to just allow them to continue forward. That's not... In any way, I think a good marker of how
but
we
they
do
want
things.
That they need to want
some,
the
some
help.
Some do, some and, do. Yeah, they yeah. have to want the help, but some do, some don't.
And the other thing about this, and maybe we don't mention it often enough, is why do we have so much in this area? Well, there's lots of reasons, but one of the key reasons is because we're compassionate, generous, kind, empathetic people. And sometimes, in this case, to our detriment and to their detriment.
Right.
But you know, the whole point is we have enough people in this area that see it, feel it, and give. And that's not necessarily true everywhere.
Well, and I think the best thing is send it, like you said, send your support for the homeless instead of giving it to the person on the corner. Give it to somebody who's going to help.
Helping them.
Right. Reap. Give it to right. somebody.
To an organization that's going to work with them and be there and shepherd. There and, yeah. Right. Absolutely.
So many great places.
One of the proposals that we're looking at right now is red light cameras in the city of mm-hmm. Pensacola. You know, Tommy Leiter, when he was a chief of police, he pioneered this and really pushed for it and never got it. I don't know that he did necessarily the steps to get it done, necessarily that he had the authority. That's really got to come from the mayor and the city council. But now, of course, D.C. Reeves, Tommy was on his transition team, and they have done the study. They have found the problems, and they're going to put a pilot program in and start, you know, the first phase of this is going to be warnings.
Okay.
But then eventually it's going to be, you know, that's a moving violation. That's a ticket. It's, hey, you know, we do it in Gulf Breeze. It works in Gulf Breeze. But do you think it'll make a difference? And do you have any objections? I mean, I don't know. Maybe, you know, there are some people who think that somehow this is an infringement of freedom or it's a, you know, surveillance state or something like that. What's your thought, Tammy?
I want to stop the ones that don't, you know, before they turn right, they don't stop.
Oh,
sometimes
they
don't even
right
slow down.
Turning right.
Yeah, exactly. So are they going to catch those people as well?
That is one of the things, yes.
Okay, because yeah, that's, I think, almost as big of a problem as the ones that actually run the lights because of the yellows. They don't run the same thing. So it's like if I'm going a certain speed, even though it's a speed limit, I have to, you know, yeah, I am doing the speed limit. I don't want to slam on my brakes when it turns yellow because somebody behind me is going to probably hit me. Mm-hmm. But I might get caught in the middle and it turns red and I might get a ticket.
Yeah, you know, if you...
that's my only concern.
The best, in my opinion, the strongest, and it's not strong, but the strongest mm-hmm. argument against red light cameras is it makes people timid about the driving.
Mm-hmm.
It makes them overreactive to the yellow light because they're afraid of getting a ticket. And so you do, statistically, you're going to have a higher number of minor rear-end collisions
right.
as a result. The trade-off is you have a significantly lower number of serious collisions, T-bones and head-ons, or offsets. Those are the ones that kill people.
Yeah, and I think if you, everyone who is a resident of Escambia County going into Santa Rosa County knows the second hump on Three Mile Bridge, hit the brakes.
That's right.
We all know it. You're going 65 over it, and then you're like,
you mean
35.
45.
No, I mean 65, and then
you're
to 35. Let's be honest, everybody. Come on. And why? Because you realize once you hit Gulf Breeze, you're going to get
right.
popped for speeding. You're going to get popped for red light. So you're incredibly cautious going through those areas. I think if we start having that kind of same mindset, people are going to do the same thing. It's going to take a little bit of adjustment,
yeah.
but they're going to do
it.
And you can't argue with the numbers that they were presenting. The number of traffic incidents in those, specifically the areas they're looking to put these red light cameras up, It's really hard to argue with that, or the enforcement of, like you said, how many officers does it take to get one ticket?
Right.
In that,
you know, the one that really caught me by surprise that is a weird case is Fairfield. When you're going east on Fairfield at I-110 Davis, headed towards where it's going to become 12th Avenue, okay, mm-hmm. you're headed along that stretch, right past like Pensacola Village and that kind of stuff, is those three cameras going to 9th Avenue?
Yeah.
Are the highest violations other than, really? I think Gregory going west at 9th Avenue is also a very high. People run that red light a lot because there's no light from Gulf Breeze all the way through that one. I mean, it's just a straight shot. But I was like, why are people blowing through? And it's only east and west. It's not north and south on the Fairfield one. And I was talking with somebody who said, you know, it's true. Red light cameras will tend to discourage that. But also that might be a matter of street design and light visibility. If so many people threw three lights so close to each other,
that's true.
It could just be that that street is poorly designed. It could mm-hmm. be that those lights are harder to see. I mean, presumably most of the people who run these red lights know the intersections and aren't surprised mm-hmm. by the fact. But still, there might be something aside from just behavior.
The timing could be off, too, just a little bit. Because if you're right. coming, if I'm coming up from a green light and it's about to turn red, I'm going to hit that gas to try to get through that yellow
Come
instead
on,
of
Pastor,
stopping
preach
right
it.
There. But I'm just saying, as I tell my kids, what does the yellow light mean? Speed up.
That's right. No, make sure you get across the red line, get across the white line before the red
that's
comes.
That's exactly
right.
That's, no.
Well, the light that's right before the bridge.
I'm sorry, Chip. That's
I mean, the, if you're going on Fairfield in the morning and that yeah. sun is in your eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's true,
too. And
you've
got that bridge and that light is right there at that bridge of I-10 or 110.
Yep.
That's very difficult.
I didn't think about sun placement. That's a good,
no, and
that's
yeah,
a really good
right,
point.
And at night going the other way, same right. thing. At sunset and sunrise, yeah. the east-west streets I mean, can be right. blindingly mm-hmm. bad. I yeah. actually thought the same thing about, you know, the new light that's at US 29 Palafox or Pensacola Boulevard when the exit ramp that they kind of redesigned.
Yeah.
The light that's right on the north side, when you're going north, you're driving under the overpass,
right. mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden the light kind of emerges from the overpass because of the height of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You really don't see it until you're fairly
right on
close
it.
To
yeah.
it. And I always worried that that would be a problem because that's cars coming down off the interstate, and who knows. But I don't think it's been a big problem.
They have that flashing
the
light
warning.
When,
yeah,
the,
you're right.
when the light's turning red, it starts flashing, let you know.
Pine Forest has the same thing.
Oh,
when,
yeah, yeah.
When you go right under 10, you got a light before it and after it. And so it's like, okay, well, if I'm green through the first one and you pass through that road that goes to
the like the frontage.
Yeah. Or, when you go through that and you go under I-10, if other people aren't in front of you, you don't see that light until you're almost under the
yeah,
bridge.
Yeah.
While we're talking about traffic on Pine Forest. That apartment complex is huge.
Which one?
Oh
on Perdido?
Gosh,
the
yes.
one on
no,
the
Pine Forest.
Oh, see, I haven't been there. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's massive. There right. is huge development. I'm like, this is a little too late.
This is the one
is
just off of I-10?
There's like
just
six
right off
buildings?
I-10 on Pine Forest. Yeah. And
yeah,
it's, I'm like,
it's
oh my goodness, the infrastructure is going to have to grow. We're going to have to do way
you, have you seen
job.
The one on Perdido? The one that just when you're going down,
oh, no.
you're crossing over the bridge
right.
and you're like,
oh yeah. my.
The one that started the whole We Are Perdido thing.
That's exactly
what Steve was telling me.
At least close enough. But yeah, that one is like, holy smokes, where do they think these people are going to find road surface, you know, and all the other infrastructure, like you said. So, no, I haven't seen that one, but I'm interested now.
I hey, wouldn't ride your bike, but you could drive by there.
Okay. All right. I'll do that. So back to we're talking to Tammy Ward and Craig Heinzman, who are here in Studio 4. The wrap, I feel like we would do everybody a disservice if we didn't at least mention there's some things going on this weekend.
Oh,
a little bit.
There's an air show you might have heard. There's
a small
Foo
planes.
Foo Fest. There's the yeah. Mural Fest. Have you seen the murals on Brancus?
No, but thanks for those pictures.
They're very
no,
cool.
No, I have not, but I was at the glass exhibit.
Oh,
the Poseidon's
Garden
thing.
It's out at Community Maritime Park, right?
It is, yeah, right out there in front of the Wahoo Stadium. It's actually pretty cool. I mean, to think about how large those glass structures are.
And they
it's
just cool. unveiled that yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yesterday,
yeah.
Okay.
First City Arts.
After the Clydesdales.
Oh, yeah.
That was Tuesday or Wednesday, yeah. yeah. And they're in town.
There's a lot of stuff happening in Pensacola
know,
right now, which is
it's
cool.
great. The Gulf Coast Arts Fest. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff coming. Anyway, I think that one. Anyway. But I did want to mention this. I don't know if you heard the interview I did earlier today, but Amir Fulati with Parsco is the guy refurbishing that old Spanish architecture station. A filling station on Jackson to Villers.
Yes.
And, oh, my God, it's amazing. And, you know, this is like the most run-down, dilapidated-looking,
yes.
needs fix. Mm-hmm. And I asked him how much he put into it. He's like, brother, I don't even know. Like, it's so – but he had to basically – all he could save was the skin, the outside, you know, and about the upper half of some of the interior wood. He had to build it up from the ground up to rebuild the bottom and then refurbish and do a lot of stuff. It's an amazing project.
Will it have gas and will it have classic candy?
It's probably going to be a restaurant or a bar or something like, or a brewery or something like that. So
God bless him for saving it.
It's a very cool building. So amazing.
Onto the tax rolls and, you know, employing people and, you know, developing toward the West Side. All good
moving
stuff.
Moving jobs from one
Tammy,
to another.
Craig, thank you so much for the time. Have a
Thanks
great weekend.
For
You're listening to News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.